Now, I'd like to say a word about this reading of this epistle to the Philippians. And Paul has here, if you will, a pastor's prayer. And his prayer is this, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, and so that you may approve the better things and may be upright and without offense up until the day of Christ Jesus. It's a pastor's prayer. Now, it's very interesting, the phrase that he uses here, and I want to spend a moment with you on it. He's saying here, not just that their charity will abound, their love will abound, but rather, he says, that their charity may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. In other words, Paul, as a good pastor, is not just after their good behavior. Paul, like a good pastor, is praying that their minds and hearts will also be transformed. Now, that's a very important thing. Because you see, today, there are many who trivialize the human person. In the world, you will often hear that it is not so much what a person believes that matters, but just that they behave well. That they're kind, pay their taxes, don't beat their wife. They're basically a good, decent fellow. And what they actually believe, whether they're Buddhist or Muslim or Christian or Hindu, or none of that matters. But all that matters is that they behave well. Now, brothers and sisters, that is a trivialization of the human person. Because we weren't just made to behave well. We were made to know the truth. And to know and love the Lord of all glory. We were made for communion with God, the one true God. It is very precious, therefore, what we believe and in whom we believe. Our minds and our hearts are very precious. We're not called just to behave well. We're called to communion with God, who wants not only to reform our behavior, but wants to give us a new mind and a new heart. And so Paul's prayer is very important. He's saying, I'm hoping that you will abound in charity, in goodness and good behavior. Yes, all of that presupposed. But I'm hoping that your charity will be abounding in knowledge and discernment. He's speaking of a new mind and a new heart. Once again, even in the Christian tradition, we can run into the danger of trivializing the human person. For example, when the new catechism came out some years ago in the 80s, the news media was all interested in the third section of the catechism, which was the moral section. What can you do and what can't you do? What is the church forbidding and what's the church allowing? But I want you to notice something, brothers and sisters. The moral section is the third major section of the catechism. The first section speaks of God. Who is God? And who is the human person in relationship to God? That's the first section. The second section of the catechism deals with the sacraments and the liturgy. How does this God who made us and loves us and has revealed himself to us, how does he minister to us? How does he wash us clean? How does he anoint us when we're sick to bring us strength and healing? How does he feed us with his body and blood? How does the Lord love us and minister to us? That's the second section of the catechism. And the third section deals with our response, the moral life. Given who God is and who I am and my relationship to God, and that God has ministered to me in the sacraments by first of all sending His Son to die for me to make the sacraments available to me, now, what kind of a loving response can I make? Having received a new mind and a new heart. Notice, the moral section doesn't come first, it's third. Because brothers and sisters, we should never trivialize the human person. God doesn't just want you to behave well. He does want us to behave well. But He wants us to know Him. To love Him. So that our good behavior is not just founded on, I better do this or I might get punished. But rather, so that our good behavior is founded on this fact, that I know the Lord and I love Him with all my heart. And whatever God wants, I want it. And whatever God doesn't want, I don't want it. I not only behave well, I want to behave well. You see, it's not enough for God just to command our obedience. God wants our mind and our hearts. God wants to give you and me a new mind. Now, I can only just conclude by saying to you my own personal journey. Early in my life, like I suppose most young people, I needed the argument from authority. Do it because God says so, and if you don't do it, you might get into some trouble. That's all right. That's a good place to begin. There's not enough of that today, right? There's not enough people who fear God. They trivialize God and, God doesn't care about this and God doesn't care about that. Even though the scriptures and the teachings of the church make it quite clear God does care. So we do need a good healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, as I've made my journey, I now see the inner beauty of God's commandments. They fit together for me. They make sense. I'm on board with what God is asking. I'm not just doing it because I have to, but because I want to. Because God, over the years of my life, has been giving me a new mind. What I didn't used to understand about God's commandments, now I do. What used to puzzle me more and more now makes sense to me. It fits together. I understand the place of sacrifice, the place of the cross in my life. I'm beginning to see the beauty and the majesty of God's plan, and more wholeheartedly accepting God's vision for my life. And that's the transformation. I hope I'm not the only one in the church who could testify this way. Who could say, you know, there was a time in my life when I did it because you have to. But now I do it because I want to. My charity, my good behavior comes from a mind and a heart that love God and are on board for everything that God wants. You know, the saints say, if God wants it, I want it. If God doesn't want it, I don't want it. Is that the way all of us talk? Sometimes we talk more like this. How come I can't have it? It's not so bad. Everybody else is doing it. But more and more, if you're on the journey that I'm on, and Paul's prayer for you, is it affects more and more, our charity is abounding more and more in knowledge, in discernment, a new mind, a new heart. The Christian vision is not just good behavior. It is that. Behave well now. But that's not the end of the moral teaching of the church. The moral teaching of the church is you let Christ Jesus live in your heart through His Holy Spirit. Dwell within. in you and allow Him to completely transform you into the very holiness of God. Let the Lord give you a new mind and a new heart. A mind and a heart totally transformed. And of course our behavior will follow. Good behavior. Not so much because we have to, but because we want to. And we want to because we've been transformed. I love the Lord, and I love everything the Lord commands. I want what God wants. And if God doesn't want it, I don't want it. The Christian moral vision is not just good behavior. It is transformation in Christ Jesus. Amen.